today we're going to be talking about something I think is extremely, vitally important, and that is design and purpose in creation. In previous sessions, I showed that you can't answer origin questions like how did the earth originate by the scientific method, because you can't observe origins, you can't perform the experiment, you can't repeat it, you can't verify it. So we talked about that the first night. I think it was Wednesday night. And then Thursday night, we showed how the Bible does have the answers to these questions because it's inspired by the only one who was there. Yeah. Praise God. I get excited just talking about that. And then Friday night, we talked about the fossils, and that the fossils do not give evidence for evolution, but do give evidence, especially for the fact that there was a worldwide flood. It says no to evolution, yes. Now I want to talk about something. Now I'd like to have a person come up here. Let's have the young man I met right here. Did you come up here? Did you come? I didn't forget your name, but Scott, I think you come. Can you and I pretend we're doing something? Can we pretend we're walking down a beach in San Diego where I live? Or maybe one of them lives, and we come across this. What is it? You got to talk about the microphone here. A sandcastle, okay. Scott, was it?
Yeah.
Scott, what color is that sandcastle? Of a gray, huh? If you had a ruler, do you think we could agree on how tall the sandcastle is?
Yeah.
Probably could. And you know, it's possible if you know something about density, do you think you could possibly agree approximately how much that weighed?
Yeah.
Probably so. Now, how do you think it got there, Scott?
Somebody built it.
No, you're all wrong, Scott. The winds and the waves washed that up there. Now, how many of you think Scott is right? How many of you think I'm right? I don't even think I'm right. Okay. It doesn't take, you know, you probably aren't a sculptor. You probably don't have a degree in geology, maybe, but it doesn't take a great PhD to come to the conclusion he has. It's obvious, isn't it? Thanks, Scott. It's obvious. So, yeah, let's give him a hand. He's right. Okay? It's obvious, isn't it? Okay, now, how many have ever been to the Badlands in South Dakota? Oh, quite a few. Lots of the churches I've been to, people haven't been in. Now, I think all of you who have been there agree it's bad land, isn't it? I mean, it really is bad land. There's miles of it. I don't think anybody had a problem saying that probably over thousands of years, you know, wind and erosion produced that, you know, that bad land. I don't think that's too hard to comprehend that. But, you know, you go about 70 miles further in South Dakota, you get in the Black Hills, and isn't it wonderful what wind and erosion produce? Isn't it marvelous? I mean, is it? Wow, the wind produced. That almost looks like who? Wow! That guy's even got a beard. Who does that look like? Lincoln. And if you know anything about history, who's that guy in there? Teddy Roosevelt, and I think that's Thomas Jefferson in there. Now, all of us, even if you know nothing about this, it's obvious that there must have been a sculptor there. There must have been somebody who made that. Now, fortunately, many of us have read, there was a fellow named Gutzon Borglum. He worked, I think it was, my memory's a little fuzzy, I think it was 14 or 16 years on this. He passed away, and his son finished the project. So, I'm going to talk about the common sense on creation, the common sense method. We won't call this second law of thermodynamics, the law of biogenesis, or paleontology, or big words. Just the common sense. Now, I don't know whether there's any builders here, but all of you live in a home, and probably many of you have purchased a home, and you recognize that, you know, it was designed, an architect designed, so people can live, a house to live in. There's a living room, usually. There's a kitchen where people prepare the food. He plans for an eating area. He plans for some bedrooms where people can sleep in. He plans for closets to hang their clothes in. He plans for bathrooms where people can wash in. He produces a laundry area where they can clean clothes and so forth. He designs all that, okay? Now, when you go to the house that he designed, it gives evidence of planning and designing. You go to this room, and it's evidence he planned that this would be where people could sleep in, wouldn't it? We call that bedroom. You go to this room, and it's obviously designed a place where people could, read, rest, look at things and so forth, and live and chat and so forth. We call it a living room. And go to this room, that maybe doesn't show up very clearly, but that's, it's designed. You've got two sinks so people could walk in, so forth, mirrors and so forth. Then you go to here, and you see if this is the place where they prepare food. It gives evidence that the fellow designed this, the finished product. Now, just as the house is inhabited, the Bible says that God formed the earth to be inhabited. You see, when the earth was created, it was created without form and void. But in 6 days, God formed it to be inhabited. And what his creation is shows that he designed it. For example, God knew the end from the beginning. He knew that man that he would create would get thirsty. So what would man need? Water. And there's lots of water. Now, the thing that's amazing, you see, no place else on the earth has water. I know there's a universe on that. No place else in the universe. Mars doesn't have water. Pluto doesn't have water. Jupiter doesn't have water. He planned for man to live there. And he also knew that man would not be able to see in the dark. So he planned for light. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God planned for it, didn't he? It gives evidence of design. God knew that, man would need air to breathe. We said the other day, you could probably go 30 days without food, maybe a week without water, but 10 minutes at the most without air. So God planned for air. And then on the second day, God divided the water from the waters. God planned for an atmosphere. No other planet or any place in the world, in the universe, has the air in it. And then God knew that man wouldn't be able to just continue to swim or float. He created it so that man could walk on it. And so God planned for dry land, and he did that on the third day, didn't he? And then God knew that the animals he was going to create on the fifth day and the sixth day would need something to eat, like grass. And God planned for grass. The earth was covered with grass. And also knew that man would need something to eat. So he planned for fruit and berries and nuts and vegetables, and also God would knew that man couldn't, the man he created would need some time of rest, so he planned for day and night. He planned for the sun for the day and the moon, the lesser light, to rule by night. And he also knew that man would want to eat, and so he planned for the waters and the earth to bring forth abundantly. He knew that man liked turkey, chicken, beef, and, pork, and so forth. And he also knew that man would need animals to be his servants. Now, it is true that we are in a mechanized age, but there are many places in this world that still depend heavily on animals to be their servants, to plow with, and to, they don't have interstate highways in all countries of the world. They don't have trucks in many places. Well, the way they transport is to carry it on the back of camels. And, for example, even man today, here was a blind man. This man was on the 65th floor of the Twin Towers, September 11th, 1911. He thanks God he had an animal that led him down 65 floors to safety. And this was that cyclone that hit Indonesia and so forth, about 4 years ago. To get the road clear, they had elephants push buses out of the way and so forth. So God knew that man would need animals. So the completed earth gives evidence. It gives evidence that there was design and purpose. And we'll show some of it. For example, to get our day and night, there's rotation every 24 hours. That gives us our day and night. Our years, once revolving around the sun, a year, once one revolution produces a year, and the tilt produces our season. Right now, if this was the tilt of the earth, and my right hand's the sun, right now, Alaska's in the summertime. You come around here and come December, and that keeps the earth revolving around the sun. My arm is stretched here. You have the wintertime, the top part further away. The tilt is what gives us our season. Air and water, vegetation. Like I said, we are the only place in the universe with the air, the water, and the vegetation that makes life available. It's because God formed this earth to be inhabited, to be lived in. So the earth is unique. Life nowhere else, anywhere in the universe. Uh-oh, except Mars. McDonald's got there. No, this is Photoshop that did that. Okay, God formed the earth to be inhabited. Earth is unique. Let's talk about some of the unique features of the earth, the atmosphere. Without air, there could be no life. Wind. The property of air, as it stands warmed up, to rise up. That produces the wind, carries pollutants away from the city. Even the dust in the air is important. You talked about the snowflakes a few minutes ago. You wouldn't have snowflakes, you wouldn't have raindrops if there wasn't something to coalesce on, to dust the earth. It is not by accident. Air shows purpose and design. Even the composition. The composition of the air is 21%. Nitrogen, 21% oxygen, 78% nitrogen, and about 1% other gases, such as carbon dioxide, 0.038. Don't get alarmed about that. I taught chemistry for some 10 years, and one experiment that we would show is you could take some steel wool, what steel wool is, and you can heat it in a Bunsen burner, get it red hot, put it in a bottle of oxygen, and what does it do? Burn. Oxygen burns. It burns in pure oxygen. If this earth, instead of having 21% oxygen, they claim if we had 25%, everything would burn up. Who gave the earth the right composition? No other place in the universe has an atmosphere like the earth. For example, Venus. The atmosphere of Venus is mainly carbon dioxide. You know what the clouds are made out of? Sulfuric acid. Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? And I think if I recall right, Venus rotates once every 243 days. That means that the nights would be, 121 and a half days, and the days would be 121 and a half. Wouldn't that be terrible to have nights, 121 some days of complete darkness? Water is essential. Plants and animals need it to live. Plants use water to make food, which man eats. Water makes soil by erosion and also expansion. When the water gets in a crack and it expands it, it cracks up the soil. That's why water is important. And then water gives us temperature control. You all are aware that the further inland you get here, the colder it gets, that which is on the ocean, and warmer. You know that England, for example, isn't an iceberg because it's, it's part of the British Isles of the islands. You know that Hawaii is a nice climate. We live in San Diego near the ocean. It's a close to a uniform climate. Water absorbs the heat during the daytime and then gives it off at the night. It provides temperature control. Even our bodies, it's essential. The water provides the temperature control. So water shows design and purpose. I mentioned I taught chemistry. There's about 9 properties of water that are extremely extremely rare. In fact, almost non-existent. Unusual, unique properties of water. I'm only going to give you just one of them. Water has been called the most uncommon of the common substances. And these unusual properties are a tremendous blessing. Let me just give you one of them. Water expands when it freezes. Water does like most everything else, if I could have a figure. Water, when you cool water down, it contracts. Everything else, when you cool down, it contracts. So does water. But when water gets to about 4 degrees centigrade or 39 degrees Fahrenheit, water does something very unusual. Instead of continuing to contract, it expands until it gets to the freezing point. And then what happens? That water increases in volume, and you see the volume increasing? It increases in volume by about 9%. And if you have a picture of it, you see that frozen water is bigger volume. When I was a kid, when they delivered milk to your house, you didn't have groceries. Did anybody remember when they delivered milk to your house and you left it outside that top went up because the milk froze, didn't it? You're all aware of the fact that you put radiator in your cars in the wintertime. Otherwise, water expands and cracks it. You may think that's a terrible nuisance, but let me show you why water is so important for you. If it wasn't for the expansion, then ice would form at the bottom. And all the, 3 million lakes in Alaska would freeze absolutely solid, and every single fish in Alaska would die in 1 year. An unusual property. This is one of about 10 properties. So unusual, it expands when it freezes. You see, if you put some butter in your freezer, you put it in a jar in a freezer, a glass jar, no problem. It's going to contract. Do it if you want to do it. Do lard if you want to do it. But put a bottle of water in your freezer, what's going to happen? It's going to crack. It's going to explode. It's going to expand. Okay. Nowhere else in the universe has liquid water been found, even on Mars. They try to say that once it had it, I don't know whether it had it or not, but sure doesn't have it now. They said it sent all kinds of probes up there. Now, let me ask this. If Earth was supposed to have formed by a Big Bang, it has all these properties, why don't the other places have this property? Pretty tough question for evolutionists. Now, gravity. We talked about gravity. Nobody can explain why gravity occurs, but if it wasn't for gravity, the water and us would be flying off into space. If it wasn't for gravity, you all would be on the ceiling. No rapture involved, just be on the ceiling. If it wasn't for gravity, you walk out, here you'd go off into space. If it wasn't for gravity, the Earth would leave its orbit and go off into space. And yet no one has an explanation of what causes gravity. Who created gravity? Hallelujah. God did. All right. The Earth, the Moon, the planets orbiting because of gravity. Did gravity evolve? No. No. I'm trying to show you how that the Earth shows purpose and design. The sun also shows purpose and design. The fact that we have light during the day. The energy from life enables plants and life to continue to grow and exist. Here's something unusual. It's the right amount of light. They say if we got 1% more energy than what we get from the sun, we'd all burn up. If we got 1% less, we'd all freeze to death. It's the right amount of energy. But not only is the right amount of energy, it's the right kind of energy. Do you know that most stars give off gamma rays and beta rays? If our sun was like an ordinary star, we would just all... we'd be dead with radiation in minutes, a second. We'd be like getting a huge X-ray machine just shining on us, just all of a sudden. Our sun produces light in what's called the visible spectrum. And that's near infrared, visible, ultraviolet, in that range. Most of the other stars produce X-rays and gamma rays. How is it? You know? Let me just say this to most stars, you know, don't have an average uniform rate of giving off heat or energy. Our star is almost, sun is almost uniform. Most stars range from 10% of their average to 150,000 times of their average. In other words, they're bursts of energy. If our sun would be like with other stars, one burst would just fry everything up on Earth. What causes the sun to give off a almost uniform energy source? Is that by evolution? No. Just like Scott, just like you saw and you concluded that the sun castle was designed on purpose, you cannot look at the Earth and the heaven of the Earth and be honest and not believe there's a creator. The boy here, can you give me your name? I can't remember that good word. What's your name? Huh? Emilio? Mercio. Mercio asked me a question, why don't people believe in creation? He asked me a question. And I said, because one of the major reasons is the reason they believe in evolution is they were taught it. But the second reason, that's a major reason, once people are explaining it, if they don't believe it, it's often because they're willingly ignorant. They don't want to believe in a creator because that creator has got some rules. And many people hate the rules that are in this book. And so they don't want to, they've tried to destroy the faith of the creator. And they hate that because this book tells us how to live, how to have a happy and a successful life. Okay, the Earth's moon shows purpose and design. It was put in there to give us light by night. Do you like night lights? Now, we are up here in something I've never experienced before. I mean, we got home last night at 11 o'clock and it was still daylight. I've never experienced that before. But from about midnight till 3 this morning, it was dark. And, you know, it's pretty nice. Sister Churchill had a little lamp there in the hall at night. I was thankful for it. I went and got up early this morning, the light was shining, I turned it off. But I like night lights. The lesser light was put there to be a light, so it was a night light. And the Bible calls it a faithful witness of God. It's also an accurate time record. We're living in what? The month of May. Where does the word month come from? M-O-N-T-H. From moon. Lunar, moon, depending on what language you're in. Month. So it is our timepiece. Every 29 and a half days, the moon revolves around the Earth. That's for a purpose, an accurate time record. The tides. We saw just a little bit of tides here yesterday. I understand there's some place in Alaska here where it has the second highest tides. I don't know where it is exactly. I was told that to the dinner. Cook Inlet, okay. I've been to the Bay of Fundy where it's the highest tides. You know, the tides, if it wasn't for the tides, the shorelines would stagnate, life would not exist here on Earth. Are tides an accident? No, they're the result of the gravitational attraction to the water on the Earth. And if the moon was bigger, then the tides would be bigger and wipe everything off. If the moon was closer, isn't it interesting? The moon, and I'm just going on, I'm rambling on maybe, but the moon is marvelous. Yeah. You know, you look in the moon, and you look at the moon, it looks the same size as the Earth, as the sun. They're the same size. But yet it's 1/400th in diameter, because it's 1/400th of a distance. Who put it at that right distance? Is that an accident? No, the more you look at this, you've got to be willingly ignorant not to believe this. Because God's creation, the heavens declare the glory of God. You can't look at the heavens and universe without believing in God unless you want to deny the Creator and be willingly ignorant. All right. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His handiwork. Day after day, not just one day, but for thousands of years each day, they pour forth speech, and night after night they display knowledge. And there's no speech, there's no language on earth that has not heard the creation story. You just look up in the skies, and then from some third grade education, one eye and half senses, Brother Norris, you say, you see, this didn't happen just by chance. So the creation has preached to the whole world there is a creator. But you know what? Creation does not tell you that this creator became our Savior. This great creator came in the form of a body whose name was Jesus Christ. And He loved you so much that He suffered and died on Calvary's cross, shed His blood for you, to pay the price for your sins, that you might be saved and filled with His Spirit. Oh, thank God. Do you thank God for that? Amen. I don't know about you, but I sinned. According to the Scripture, you've sinned too. But I believe this. If there had been no other sinner that ever was going to be on the face of this earth, I really believe God so loved the world, He would have come and died for me. Such love, such work. And I want to assure you, God came in flesh and in His body, in His flesh, died for you, shed His blood for your sins. Thank God for it. The voice goes unto all the earth, their words to the end of the world. And here's another scripture I really like. When I consider the heavens, the work of Thy fingers, just like the sculpture was the work of a sculptor, the moon and the stars, what Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? You know, when you think the universe is supposed to be millions of light years away, and I don't got it. I mean, it's just a huge thing. The solar system's like a speck of dust compared to this auditorium, compared to the universe. And then you take this solar system speck of dust and you consider the earth. It's a speck of a speck of a dust. And then on that little earth, there's a little guy like you and me. See, just a speck of a speck of a speck of a dust, shall we say. What is man that Thou art mindful of him? Think of it. What is man? And when you try to reason, when you try to think, I'm so smart and God's dumb, His ways are above your ways and His thoughts are above your thoughts, higher than the heaven and the earth. Oh, hallelujah. I could go on and on in this. I'm excited about it. And the human body shows purpose and design. Amen. These things just happened by chance. The psalmist wrote this. He said, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, I'm not conceited, but I'm wonderfully made. This is my granddaughter. She's wonderfully made, too. The eye, you just consider the eye. Even if you just consider the location of the eye. Supposing your eyes were on your forehead. You know what would have happened the first time I learned to catch? I would have hit my eye, I'd be blind in one eye. And probably before I learned to catch the second time, I'd be blind. But instead it was put in a socket. Did that happen by accident? Does the fact that your eye, you know, the pupil can open and close to when it's bright to allow variations in light. Did that evolve? Does the lens change its shape so that it can focus as different when you're reading close and when you're looking at a distance? Did that happen by chance? Wow. No, the eye, just all the things about the eye, the cornea, the pupil, the iris, the muscles that enable to change your eyes so you can see right and left. And even the eyelids. Aren't you glad when you sleep your eyes aren't wide open? You know, wouldn't that have been tough? And aren't you glad that when you get a speck of dust in your eyes that your tears show and then your eyelids open it up and you wash that dust out? See, God thought, I like it when my windshield gets dirty and I press a button and it squirts water in the windshield, then the windshield wiper cleans off the, I really like that. I like that better than going on. Well, God thought of that way beforehand. He's given us a windshield wiper right there in our eyes. Amen. The tears and the eyebrows, as I said, even eyebrows have a purpose. Just everything is wonderfully, fearfully designed. Even the nose. The nose is a wonderful thing. It's been called the world's finest air conditioning system. Do you know that when you breathe in, you have, what is it, 24,000 hairs in your nose? What's that for? It's to filter out the dust. Is that an accident? Do you realize that when you breathe in air, and here it's 40 below zero in the wintertime, you breathe in air, that 40-degree weather doesn't reach your lung because that your nose warms it? Do you realize that when you're in a desert, that nose moistens the air? Wow, this is real wonderfully and fearfully made. I could spend hours here talking about the human body, and I'm not a doctor, a doctor of science, but not a medical doctor, but I'm impressed with it. Oh, it moistens, it filters, it's warm. But thank God for smell. Now, you young people appreciate it. You know, that you can smell something, flowers and so forth. Thank God for it. I have to tell you, I had some operation on my nose, and I can't even smell a rose. Thank God for the sensation of smell. And then the tongue. Thank God for the tongue. It helps you chew and swallow. It clears out your mouth. It tastes. Thank God you can taste sweet and sour. We went to a Chinese restaurant the other day. Sweet and sour. You can taste salty and bitter. Isn't it great that there's some variation in that? And it helps you form sound. Would you try to be, would you put your tongue to the top of your mouth now? A tongue. I'll say that. Now say D. D. Yeah. Try saying Z. Z. Try W. Z. Yeah. So that's to help us form sounds. See, other animals can't make the sounds that we do because we are unique. We are made in the image of God. And it keeps from burning your throat. How many have ever burned your tongue? Thank God you burned your tongue. Otherwise, you'd have burnt your throat. You know, it warns it. And you know, even then, a doctor, you go to some doctors, they stick out your tongue, and they can look at your tongue even, some of them, and tell, you know, somewhat whether you're well or not well. I could go, the ear, I could go all kinds of parts of the body, the kidney, the pancreas, and so forth, but I'm not. Just taking a few examples how it's wonderfully, fearfully made. The skeletal system is extremely strong. There was a fellow named Maxwell Rogers, and his son was working under a car with a jack on it, and somehow it happened to jack, and the car fell on his son. That man picked up one end of the car so the son could get out. Documented. That skeletal system you have is very strong, and in emergencies, adrenaline could cause you to have amazing, you know, feats of strength. Was that just an accident? But just take one part of the ski, one of the parts, the kneecap. Even the kneecap, it's not, we can bend this way, but aren't you glad you don't bend both ways? You don't have kneecaps on both sides. You know, otherwise you'd just be a wobbly something. So, you know, every feature, I could talk about the hand, the handbook called Nature's Finest Tool, just over and over. These are not accidents. The human heart beats on average, 70 times a minute? They claim that if you live to be 70, that your heart has beaten 2 billion times. Do your math and actually find it. What machine has man made that has beaten 2 billion times and not failed? Now, some of you here from Anchorage. Yeah, Anchorage. Brother Blackshear, every time I see Brother Blackshear, he talks about the trusses that he bought that was built by my father's. My father had a company that built roof truss machinery. And I remember going to my dad's plant many times, day and night. He would build a machine, and day and night, it was pressed like this for making, you know, pressing in the connector place on trusses. Day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night, cycle. On until it finally failed. And he measured the time because he wanted to know that this is going to last. But no machine my dad ever designed ever beat cycle 2 billion times, not even close. And in addition to that, that human heart, the human heart in this little baby right here, it's going to grow. That human heart is going to grow until it becomes an adult like his dad. No machine man ever had grew to fill the building as it got bigger. And you just think, I'm just wowed by the wonderful creation of the human heart. Human brain, wow, it's been compared to millions of computers. Isn't it amazing how you can recall things years and years ago in lots of detail? The reproductive system, and I'm not going to bury, hopefully not embarrass anybody, but you know that every single one of you started with a sperm from your dad, which was the equivalent of 5 billionths of a gram. That's how tiny it is, 5 billionths of a gram, united with the mother's egg that was only 1 millionth of a gram. And that, from that little tiny beginning, that tiny, tiny beginning, what developed? God had a plan from that little 5 billionths of a gram sperm and 1 billionth of an egg. There was a plan for you that you would have 2 ears. You'd have 2 eyes. You'd have 32 teeth. You'd have 350 bones when you're born, and now you have 206 bones. That you'd have 250 muscles. That you'd have a pancreas, a liver, a heart, and on and on. Wow. From that tiny beginning. Wow. Evolution patterns the top picture. My wife has patterned the bottom one. Okay. But you know what? If evolution was true, then a woman had to evolve at the same time as a man. And what would be the chance of that? But in the beginning, God made male and female. Even the reproductive system is absolutely marvelous. You know what? Whatever you buy, if you buy something good, in a good manufacturer, and that was one of the things my dad always had was an instruction manual for his equipment. You buy a Coleman lantern, it'll say follow the instructions to avoid injury or fire. You buy a vacuum cleaner, it'll have things like this. Use your cleaner only for the job it was intended to do. Okay? There are consequences if you don't follow the manufacturer's instructions. You know, I've heard already some car problems since I've been here, but supposing one of you would come to me since I've been here and you'd say, Brother Montpaul, my engine just seized up. I'm really sorry to hear that. But when did you change oil last? And they say, change oil? Never heard of it. How many miles have you had the car? 80,000 miles. Well, what's the problem? You didn't follow the manufacturer's instructions. You know, you should change the oil. If you haven't done it, it's a good idea to change it. They're about 3,000, 7,500 miles, whatever you want to call it. So serious personal injury can occur if you don't follow the manufacturer's instructions. You can damage some property. I hope before you drive that you realize there's several pedals down there. One is to go and one is to stop. Good idea to follow the instructions. When you want to stop, notice that big pedal, you know, is to stop and so forth. Otherwise, you'll run into somebody, damage the car, maybe kill a life. Fires can happen. And then you can miss out on the features if you don't read the manufacturer's instructions. You know, I hate to admit this. I hate to admit this, but I have a 99 Buick Ultra. It's really a nice car. But for several years, I was not aware of the fact that I could push a button and my seat would heat up. Wow, I love it. But I never realized that. I apologize. I feel stupid, but I never read it. I'm just a dumb guy. And sometimes I don't read the manufacturer's instructions. I was having trouble hearing my phone. And I realized there's a button on here that can increase the volume. You know, you miss out on a lot of blessings if you don't read the instructions. And I admit I didn't read the manual well. Didn't read it. Okay, so there are consequences. You can miss out on some enjoyment of the features. And you can ruin the product.
Yeah.
I mean, you can throw your cell phone in the toilet and it's not waterproof. You know what I mean? So you can ruin it if you don't follow. Now, if manufacturers have a manual, an instruction manual, then what book contains our Creator's instructions? It's not this. It's not Dr. Spock. It's this.
Yes.
This is the instructions. If you're not reading it, there's going to be some real problems for you. If you're not obeying it. Okay, let's talk about it. What are the consequences if you don't follow the instructions? Personal injury and damage. I tell every young man I can think of, I said, you need to read the first 5 chapters of Proverbs. I'm going to repeat that again. Every young man, read the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. Because some serious consequences can happen if you don't follow what Proverbs says in there. Personal injuries. STDs. Illegitimate children. Lots of things if you don't follow. And then there's the lack of enjoyment of his blessings. Do you know the Bible says, the manufacturer's instructor says, if you're sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray for him, pray for them, and the prayer of the sick can heal, prayer of faith can save the sick. About, I guess it was 2002, when I came back from, I think it was Madagascar. I might have these dates a little mixed up. My testimony is on my website. But I had what I thought was a urinary infection. And the doctor said, oh, we got to check this further. So they sent me to a specialist. Took a biopsy of my prostate gland. 8 out of 10 samples cancerous. Stage 1C cancer. I had a doctor in the Grand Cliffs Church that worked for Stanford and sent the samples up there. Same thing, 8 out of 10 cancer. You know, and I could spend a long time on this. But you know, I've invested all kinds of study on treatments and so forth. But in the meantime, I was prayed for. Thank God. God is a healer.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm here today.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I say there are benefits. If you have sin in your life and you have a guilt of sin, you could walk out of this place today forgiven if you'll repent. If you'll ask Jesus, you could be forgiven. You could walk out of this place filled with the Holy Ghost if you don't have the Holy Ghost. If you follow the instructions, there are tremendous blessings. And you'll miss out on that if you don't hear the Word of God and read the Word of God. And then, of course, if you don't believe and you don't obey, the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I have a picture of what? A train wreck. In case you don't know it, trains run better on tracks. Only in the fairy tales does the train go on the sandy beach and talk to the kids and so forth. Well, that's only a fairy tale. The truth of the matter is, trains run much better on tracks. They don't run on the beach or anyplace else. Shipwrecks, train wrecks can occur if you don't stay on the tracks. What are the tracks? The Word of God. That's the guideline. I didn't have time. I could spend many time, but everything from the subatomic particles to the entire universe shows purpose and design. Everyone, design or a purpose. I say this, just as God had a purpose for every part of the body when you were conceived, God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for you. You are not junk. You are in the plan of God. It's up to you whether you follow it. The greatest thing in your life, the greatest thing, one of the greatest things in your life is to find the purpose that God has for your life. Sometimes it's trial and error. I tried to play the trombone. That was not God's purpose for my life. Brother Norris concluded that very quickly. That wasn't the purpose. Sometimes it's trial and error. The purpose for my life was to be a teacher, and I finally discovered that's my calling. God has a purpose for you. Now, your purpose might not be the same as mine, but I'm convinced that God makes no junk.
Amen.
God has a purpose and a plan for you. Now, there is a question that I think you need to ask every day. Maybe you could write this down. This question you should ask every day. Maybe it's on the slip. The question is simply this. It was the question. Paul was on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians. And one of the questions that Saul asked firstly was, "Who art thou, Lord?" That's a good question. The Lord is Jesus. And then he asked another question. This is a question I think you should ask every day. Lord, can you finish the rest of it? What would you have me to do? I'm praying today. Let me go further than that. I'm praying today that you will ask this question. I ask that you sincerely will ask this question. Lord, what will you have me to do? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to sincerely say, Lord, what will you have me do and be willing to obey it? Shall we stand? Oh, Jesus. Jesus, I believe what I'm speaking on because it's your word that's truth. I believe that you have a purpose. And I believe that if every person in here would ask, Lord, what would you have me do? You would guide them and lead them into that. You may not reveal it just this moment, but Lord, you're gonna lead them and guide them if they will sincerely seek after you. I don't know what it is that they are to do today. Maybe the first thing for them to do is to believe. They've never believed before. I pray God that they'll believe. Maybe they've never repented and turned from their sins. That would be something I'm sure you would tell them to do if they've not done that. Maybe they've not been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. If they would ask, what do you want me to do, God, I believe you would show them that. Maybe they've never been filled with your Spirit, Lord. God, if they'll seek and ask you, Lord, you want to give them the Holy Ghost. Oh, I pray, God, every single person in this building, God, help them to ask that question, Lord. And I pray that they'll obey you when you give them the answer. I ask this in the name that's above every name, in the name of Jesus.